All right, take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to start back again at verses 1, 2, and 3, just as a beginning text. We started this morning, and so I'm not going to go back to everything we said this morning. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to cover these several of these verses in 1 Corinthians 3, because I want you to see that things that are being warned about, that the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul to warn the church at Corinth, and as things go on, you'll find out the church of Corinth and the other churches, as a matter of fact, the seven churches of Revelation. Many of the things that are written here in this third chapter come just really reach that point where it affected those seven churches that they're trying to warn them against, and those seven churches no longer existed. And so a lot of scriptures are given there to us for warnings that not happen to us. Churches are falling all across America. Churches are falling all around this world. Great job that missionaries did throughout the world over the years. Suddenly, seeing those things fall apart when we go away from God's will, God's word, God's way. And so in a day when many fundamental Baptist churches are saying, well, you know what, we've got to be a little bit more relevant to this day. We've got to change the standards. They shouldn't be like that, shouldn't be like this. You never change the Bible. You never change the standards. You stay true to the word of God. You see, that's the way it must be. That's the way it must stay, because when we don't, then you see the used-to-be's, the Cato Tabernacle under B.R. Lakin, Tennessee Temple of Lee Robertson. And again, I've said it many times, but I can't help but say it again. When Lee Robertson stepped down, was passing away, but a few years after that, people said, we don't want another Lee Robertson, and they didn't get one. And everything went out of existence. And so I just want to say that as the time goes on, let's not be one of those that gave in to the world instead of giving in everything to Jesus Christ. You make a choice when the world's putting pressure on you and the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to your heart and the world's fighting it all the way. Stand true for God. Let's look at verse 1 here in chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You think of that church had been planted there. That church grew. A lot of things good happened there. And now he's saying, I'm having to preach unto you as babes. It's very carnal. At a point when they should have grown, they should have matured in Christ. And that's a sad thing in our churches across this land today. And some of the things that we just say here are an offense to them instead of a reminder, let's stand up for Jesus. And when it becomes an offense to their carnality and to their babyhood in their spiritual understanding and knowledge, then they're offended. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able, neither are you yet now able, are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. You know, you're yet carnal. That means you favor the things that appeal to the flesh. Whether, it's not the right word to use, but whether it's religious things. It's not really, the music here is not religious music. It's honoring Christ music. It's not preaching a philosophy. It's preaching the truth of the word. See, all that, there's a great difference in those things. And so he says, are ye, nor are ye yet, for ye are yet carnal, shall I say, whereas there is among you envying and strife. When there is envy in a church, when there is strife in a church, that says you've got some carnal people very active. It's saying you've got babies in Christ very carnal and involved. And that, boy, that will destroy a church so quickly. You find somebody that's got a critical spirit, this is speaking of them. You've seen somebody finds fault with this and that and this, this is speaking of them. Okay? Standing on the word, preaching the word. If we go from that, then it's not being carnal. It's being spiritually righteous to stand up and say, no, we will not allow the holiness of God to be attacked in our house. And so we stick to the word of God. So there may be envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? And when he says walk as men, he's talking about the men of the world, the men filled with evil, the men that are religious men, just like the religions of Satan are. So are you not yet carnal? Walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? You know, here we live in the horse capital. And in the horse capital, ours are, you know, we have the race horses, you know. I mean, we have them. You know, we hear some that go on to win the Kentucky Derby or some other great derby along the lines as they come along, maybe even the Triple Crown. But understand, we're not comparing preachers as you do horses. Okay. You're thankful for preachers that have the Spirit of God and preach the word as it is to men as they are. That's what it is all about. And so he says, you're comparing us. We're not fighting against each other. Why are you comparing us? We're not battling against each other. We're on the Lord's side. Okay. I mean, look, you got a football game going on. The center, the linemen, the running backs, they're not against the quarterback. They're doing everything they can to help the quarterback. And when they run the ball, they're doing everything they can to help. Even the quarterback will help when there's a guy running the ball. So keep it in mind. We're laborers together with God, not against God and not against each other. We're laborers together with God. And so he said, therefore, while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Now, if I didn't know that Paul was the one the Holy Spirit gave every word to write down in this, I'd say, well, who's that smart aleck saying who is Paul and who's Apollos? Well, it's the Apostle Paul writing down every word God said to say. Okay? So, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And I'll tell you this. I saw people that my dad had led to the Lord. They got involved. They grew in the Lord. And then one day they turned on the very man that led you to the Christ that would save your soul. And then instead of going to hell, now you're going to go to heaven when you die. And now you turned against the man that led you to Christ. And I thought, boy, that's interesting. That's interesting that people are like that. But you find that that's going to be true. Why? Because the devil's going to do his best to get in church, and I always have somebody that stirs it up. He'll do that. And just understand, if you find yourself going around saying, you know what Brother Joe said? Do you know what Brother Reuben's doing? Brother Osborne, he has no business. And you'll get those things going like that. And that's the person that this is talking about. They're not on the Lord's side. In other words, they may be saved, but they're playing for the other team. And that becomes a carnal Christian, and that is a babe in Christ. That's what we're being told here, and that's what destroyed all those churches in Revelation. Those were good churches at one time. Remember, he says to the church, thou hast a name that thou livest, but art dead. Well, what did he mean by that? Just the same thing they mean today. You can go down to these churches. I call them the church of what's happening now. You know, and boy, they got their rock music. They got all the other things. And then they got their psychologist that comes in and has a little sweet little thing to say to everybody. And it's all over. But the truth of the matter is that that church of what's happening now, that church has all these things that are going that way. They are carnal and they're turning their back on God. And so those are the things that have to be watched against. And say, who are you talking about tonight? Is there somebody in the church you're talking about tonight? Well, if you've got to ask that question, I may be talking about you. Okay, but no, I'm not pointing out. I don't think we're battling with that right now at Central Baptist. Hopefully we're not. But if we are, you've done a great job in keeping it from me. Okay, but I'm just saying is that we don't want to ever get that way. We want to stand true. We want to be right. We want to be holy. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, the Lord said. To be anything short of that, to adopt standards that would take us short of that, is the first step of Satan running the church. And we've got to do that, and Satan running your own life, if that's the way you're trying to get your church to go. Don't go that way. America, we have grown more uncivilized than the nations we evangelized. Look what's going on. Just what Brother Osborne told you tonight should tell you how uncivilized we are. Even to have to bring that as a bill into our state Congress. Why would we have to bring that into a bill if the churches are what they're supposed to be? Look, everybody that even have half a sense of mind knows how filthy and rotten that is. And all they're doing when they allow those things is they're going to murder their children in hell. Because you don't take the stand, you don't try to lead your children to heaven, you're not taking the stand against those things, eventually you're going to have grandchildren, if not your children, in hell. Now, you say, preacher, you're trying to scare us. I hope I do. Because that's what happens. Look, I've seen people die. I've had some of them on their deathbed apologize to me for things they said and did here. I've had others, I believe the Lord just took them right out for the things that the accusations they were making. The Lord took them out of this world. I believe it very much. You say, oh, who are you talking about? I'll tell you when we get to heaven. Make sure you're going. But when the church faces the things that are going on in this world, just like some of these things that are going on that Brother Randy talked about, do you realize that that's going after your children and your grandchildren? Do you realize that's trying to affect them? And if it affects other kids, and those kids are friends of your children, they'll try to get your children involved as well. So you better keep it in mind that in taking a stand, yeah, you'll get opposition. All things will be said about you. But delivering my children is more important to me than what things are said about me. And I hope it is to you as well. You know, we have a society in which children now are trying to figure out if they're a male or a female. And I want to put an advertisement out there. I really do put it in the newspaper or somewhere like that or on media and just say, young people, if you're a boy, if you're not really sure if you're a male or female, come see me. We'll help you and do it free. A boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. Okay. And that's the way it is. And I can see if somebody on the other side doesn't like that. They'll say, oh, how ignorant that pastor is. If that's what ignorant is, I want to be ignorant. Disrespect for law and order, disrespect for parents, which in many things, they are living in ways that demands no respect, those parents. There is no reason for their parents who live in a way that deserves nothing of good, nothing of respect. It does not attract respect. And when parents and families get that way, and when homes are that way, understand, we are as uncivilized as the people you saw on the old Tarzan movies from the 1930s and 40s. Only they were acting. But the ones of today aren't. That's the way they've become. We don't want to become one of the uncivilized countries, and yet we're pretty well there.
Sure are.
Amen. We're pretty well there. And when I said amen, I didn't mean so be it. I meant, yes, that's true. That's true. America needs evangelized. And instead of evangelization only, we need missionaries planting churches once again in America that stand for the truth. That'll have standards. That'll stand on the word. Will not think that you grow churches with rock and roll. That do not think you grow churches by dressing immodestly. They will not think that you grow churches by social drinking. And that, now you can grow numbers doing some of those things, but you won't grow souls. You won't grow that that pleases God. You won't grow that that is righteous and acceptable unto God, and holy and acceptable unto God. And it's time that God, boy, I hope we got some young people. We're talking about the school. I hope we got some young people that God calls to preach and evangelize throughout this country. But let's pray also that they get a good, solid spiritual backbone that won't back down the first time they're persecuted or threatened. As I said this morning, we've got female missionaries a couple places in Africa. I won't mention it here for their protection. But they're on the field with where they're trying to take the lives of missionaries. They have the opportunity to come home and they won't. They've got a call and they're sticking to it. And there are many men that wouldn't do it because they're too sissified to be as strong as those women. So again, there's a great need of evangelization in this country. But too many churches went out saying, we're going to win souls, and they do win some souls. But you know, that's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission also said that you would not only win them, you'll also wet them, you'll baptize them. And then you will teach them to observe all things that he has commanded us. Some people don't mind getting baptized. Some will say they got saved but won't get baptized. Isn't it interesting? I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Okay, first commandment is get baptized. No, I'm not going to get baptized. Everybody's going to be watching. Now, why are you ashamed of the one that saved your soul and died for your sin? And so when you think about that, they turn their back on that. And then if we're not teaching to observe what he's commanded us, for example, this is not a bad crowd here tonight, but we actually have more members than this. And some are probably at home for very legitimate reasons. But there are some that could be here. But they would think, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, that they're not part of the some is. That it's all right for them because I am really so tired. I wonder if anybody that says that for not come to church, not come to Sunday school, whether it's Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I wonder if some of those that use about how tired they are, if they have a full-time job, would say, well, yeah, I was going to come into work today, but I was just too tired. I knew you'd understand. And they'll say, you'll understand while I'm firing you. And so, again, that's the way it goes. We aren't supposed to try to change the standards of righteousness and holiness and truth. We want that God has given us. We want to live by it. Why? Because he wants us to be holy and acceptable unto him, that our reward will be great in heaven. Instead of us up there with tears flowing from our eyes because of the loss of reward. Because of the souls that could have been saved. And those souls that are over at the white throne judgment looking at you. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something to me? Why didn't you had the gospel. I could have heard it and got saved. I wonder how much we really care. We don't need Satan's minions driving standards in the church and trying to drive them away. We still need to have hymns, songs, and spiritual songs in God's house. And to go outside of that is to spit in the face of God. Because you are corrupting the worship in his house. That is a filthy, rotten, low-down sin for any Christian to commit. And if you get mad at a church because they're not using that music, my friend, you've just told God he's got it all wrong, he's evil. You say, well, I don't say that. I wouldn't even think that of God. Well, your actions are speaking loud and clear that you are. Because it appeals to your flesh. See, your battle with the flesh is so strong that the flesh is defeating you because you're not walking in the Spirit. You say, now, who are you talking about, preacher? I don't know. I'm just preaching what God gave me. If that affects you, then it affects you. Then God gave it to me to give to you. But I don't know who's whatever they are. My job, my call, and my account is, did I preach what God gave me to preach? And that's the way it has to be. And that's the way it will be by the mercy and the grace of God to be able to do it. You know, again, I mentioned something about the old Tarzan movies. When they showed heathens worship, murdering, and destroying anything that they hated, and yet may have been innocent, but they hated it. That showed that civilized people and the moral people that were around were hated. That's why you say, boy, people in these other churches are getting down on us for our King James stand. They're getting down on us for our standards. They're getting down on us for that. That is the uncivilized, heathenistic thought of Satan that has been put in many Christian people. And when you get that way, not because I say so, but because the Bible's trying to tell us here, you're carnal and you're still a babe in Christ. You're not growing because the flesh has you defeated so greatly. And it doesn't have to be that way. It may be that way now, but I tell you what, when I got saved at home. My parents led me to the Lord there at home. That very night I was saved. And this very night you can rededicate your life and commit everything to Jesus Christ. Even though you are already saved, you can rededicate your life right tonight. And say, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. I surrender all for Jesus. Talks about changing the standards. All are based on the principles of adopting the standards and the culture of this world, not the truth and the love of God. Know for sure that when those are churches that are like that way, they are spiritually uncivilized. And they lack the spiritual understanding more than the uncivilized and uneducated nations of the world and those that our missionaries 50, 100 years ago evangelized. And we've dropped below, so far below the standard. They are seeking to change standards today, hoping that they can end churches like us. Why? Because churches like this is it's really a threat to them. They're afraid some of their people will actually get saved. Look, when you have people that are wanting to change the standards, you have people wanting to change the music, you have people wanting, and I don't know that we've got anybody trying to do that here, but if we do, and you know them, avoid them because they are more dangerous than the bubonic plague was years ago. Because bubonic plague ended up in physical death, that kind of a thought ends up in spiritual death. Now you got to decide whose side you're on. Are you going to stand up for Jesus? Or are you going to let the world tell you what to do? Are you going to let the devil work through his minions and help direct you in what you're going to do? You see, there are people that are out there that are just wicked and evil. But let me tell you something else. Jesus Christ died for them too. I've known of homosexuals that got saved. You never give up on a soul. Read the stories of people, and our radio station has that. It's a couple of the programs that are on there that of people that got saved in prison that were murderers. He said, well, do you really believe they got saved? I don't know. I kind of think Paul and Noah got saved. Paul and Moses got saved, and they both murdered. They were both murderers. God changes the life. But you got to give that life to him to change. And so, we can see people that want to, I actually can understand why they want to take away the King James Bible. You say, you can? Oh yeah, because when Satan tries to work his way in his church, he wants to get something to go against all of those standards they want to do away with. He'll want to go against anything that's righteous, and so he will work on people to do that. Even Christian people, and they'll think, well, this is good for the church. It'll get more people here. In Corinth, there was that temple to Aphrodite. As a matter of fact, when you're reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14, they were speaking in tongues. You know what that was? That was when they went into a dance in there. They had over 1,000 women called Vestal Virgins who weren't virgins. They'd go to a dance, a very suggestive dance, and that would end up in an orgy. Now, folks, that was the church in Corinth. That's what they grew up in. But when you read in 1 Corinthians, and he says, such were some of you, include homosexuals, and included drunkards, and included all sin of all kind. Those people got saved. Those people got right with God. Yet they had to be warned, as we're reading here in 1 Corinthians, watch out. Devil's going to try to tackle you again with sins that had tackled you before, even before your salvation. Our Lord breathed out every word, and he filled the scriptures with those words, that they would be those words that would guide us as believers in this life. And here we have preserved for us in the King James Bible the words of God. And the devil's been successful in even Christian colleges, let alone in churches, of telling people, you know what? That's crazy, King James. You've got to have words so that you can understand the words. See, that's the problem. That's why King James has to be changed, because you can't understand the words. And you've heard me say this before, but I can't help but say it again. If you can't understand it of the King James, just understand, you've got a lawsuit that you can put forth now against those schools and colleges, because it's written on a fifth grade level. And if you can't read on a fifth grade level, your Christian colleges and churches and other secular colleges and so forth, or your schools, they let you down. They didn't even teach you how to read on a fifth grade level. Well, there are some words in the pastor I don't understand. They've got a new thing today called a dictionary. Use the 1828 Webster Dictionary, you'll have the right one. But folks, it is time. It is past time to quit letting the world defeat you every time that it comes up with a new idea. Stick to the word. Stick to the fundamentals. Stick to the truth. That's the road to victory. We don't want to happen to Central Baptists what happened to those churches in Revelation. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray when we sing this invitation song, I know that some of the things I have said tonight, I believe that you gave me everything, Lord, I really do. But I also believe that there perhaps are people, whether it's on live stream, whether it's on radio, or whether it's right here in this church services, may be offended. It's not that we're out to offend them. It's that we're out to let the Lord change them and to be what they need to be, that they'll finish this race of life well, victorious. Do that special work in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.